Let's see. Blog Talk Radio. Oh.
You are fake news.
Always, man. Always and forever. Fake news. They're always fake. And my gut tells me they'll always be fake. I don't know how they pull up out of this fakeness. See, they've allowed themselves to sink so deep into the fakeness that we can't tell whether they're real, fake, you know, we don't know what they are. They have become mixed punch. You ever go to a grill out or something and they got that jungle juice? Nobody knows what it really is. Yeah, you taste it and you're like, wait a minute, a little orange juice. There's a little cherry in there, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Is that ginger ale? What is that? But you never really know what it is. Nobody ever really identifies what it is because it's mixed punch. Whole bunch of stuff in it. It's designed not to be something that you can just rely on and say, this is what this is. Like orange juice. Whenever I go downstairs and I crack open that OJ and take a swig, I go, that's orange juice. But I don't know what mixed punch is. And that's what the fake news is. They're mixed punch. Now, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I try to make sense out of nonsense. If you are here for the first time, I hope you subscribe and have yourself a jolly, jolly good time. And I also hope that you hit the like button, you share these videos and all that good stuff. We got a lot to talk about. First of all, finish up with my girl from yesterday. Marsha was dropping it like it was hot. That's right. When those stinking liberals try to act up, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot. And she's going to do that. She's going to drop it like it's hot. And then we're going to move on to some other stuff. Now, once again, on Wednesday nights, people can call in, but just make sure if you call in, that number behind me, that's the number you call in. You hit one and you can chit chat with me for a second. But you know, don't hold me up for like 2 or 3 hours now. You know, I mean, I am trying to do a show and get you some therapy. You know how some people get to going and, you know, you give them the wrap up cue. You ever been on the phone with somebody? You go, okay, all right. Oh, okay. And you can tell they're not even close to wrapping up. Yeah, they just getting started. Yeah, sure. All right then. Okay, I'll talk to you. And they just keep going. And you're going, you're not getting ahead. Now I'm going to have to say, I got to go. I don't want to do that. So you're welcome to do that. And if you do call, make sure you don't hit me with the filth, farm filth, and the words of Eddie Murphy. So with that being said, we got to go ahead and finish up with my girl. I think it is Marsha Blackburn or something like that from, where is she from? Tennessee. And boy, was she on a roll. If you didn't see my live show last night, please go back and check it out. You can catch the first half. But trust me, after listening to what she's about to go ahead and finish up with, you'll be able to fill in the blanks. So, Marsha, would you finish up what you were talking about these raggedy Democrats and what they're trying to do to our country?
Are the car that they want to drive?
Okay, here we go.
Do you really think that Americans want to give their freedom up?
No, we don't.
Since the 2016 election, the left has existed in a state of perpetual hysteria. It's been over the threat that our God-given freedom poses threats to their radical socialist agenda.
Oh, so that's why they're running around saying our democracy is at risk and it's an existential threat. It's really not. It's just really a threat to their agenda. So anything that threatens their agenda is an existential threat. They use all these dramatic, inflammatory, you know, terms so it can scare all the bubbleheads into thinking that we're at risk for something. Just like this whole voter situation down in Georgia and in Texas. See, it's not just voter integrity. It's not just simple common sense voter requirements. No. It's Jim Crow. It's Jim Eagle. It's huge. This is Jim Crow on steroids. See? You see how they do it? Uh-huh. So Marsha is pointing that out. Now, it's funny because I was listening to a video by Dr. Swirly or something like that. I forget his name. But he was talking about how they did a poll. And it shows that a high percentage of Americans want to, you know, secede from the union. That's how bad this is getting. You know why? Because nobody wants to wake up every single day and be hit with cancer culture. Nobody wants to always be hearing about racism, sexism, xenophobia. How about we just get along? Where's Rodney King when you need him? Can't we all just get along? So since these folks are pushing this radical agenda and they're using all of these divisive tactics to divide us, and Americans don't really want that. We want to go about our day. We want to be able to work, make a living, come home, not be harassed by media personalities telling you that you need to walk around with an albatross around your neck, a scarlet letter on your shirt. We want to be able to go through our life without folks knocking on the door. Excuse me, vaccination man here. You got that stuff? Did you get the shot? They're acting like drug dealers. Why the heck is the Biden administration acting like drug dealers? They coming up on the court, they talking about going around messing with the kid. Kid coming from Mexico. Check this out. What is that? You don't know what this is? I got that mops. Now listen, look. You ain't got to be scared. Don't go tell your mom. Don't go tell your mom and them. I want you to go ahead and meet me in the back alley. I don't want nobody snooping around my neighborhood trying to push the mops like a drug dealer. So Marsha has her ear to the street, listening to the heartbeat of all of the normal American citizens, which is the majority. But yet, when you watch the news, you would think the majority is all these crazy folks screaming up at the sky, talking about why, you know, all of that mess. So, Marsha, would you finish up, please?
But instead of taking the conventional route of persuasion, okay, they chose a high-pressure guilt campaign to force people into a prepackaged American experience.
Oh, you know what? I was just thinking about that the other day. I said to myself, why can't they fight fair? Well, because they got raggedy policies. Because they do have a socialist agenda. They don't come out there telling, all right, now here's my proposal, here's my policies, and this is why I think they're important. No, forget that mess. Why would we try to waste our time trying to convince you smart people that this is stupid? So what we're going to do is call you racist. That's what we'll do. What we're going to do is go into some draconian type tactics. What we're going to do is implore all of the agencies to snoop around, see what you up to, all of that mess. Okay, here we go.
They want everyone marching in line with the daily talking points because we want calm, they say. Democracy is too messy. It's too unpredictable. No one wants to exist in that system, they say.
Girl, she's bright like a diamond. I can't even look bright like a diamond. You know what? She's reading them. She's reading them right now. Continue, Marsha.
But I differ in my opinion.
Oh.
Yes, it's messy, but this big, beautiful, diverse mess is what sets this country apart.
You hear that, woman? What she's saying is this, it might be a mess, but it's my mess. Some of y'all out there are messy, me included. There's some areas of my life where I'm like, if I wasn't me, I wouldn't want to be me. If I wasn't me, I wouldn't understand that mess. But yet, it makes sense in my head. In my head, I'm like, hey, don't touch nothing. They're like, dude, what are you talking about? Don't trust me. I know where everything is at. All right, it's my mess. And don't be criticizing my mess, okay? It's like a family member. You all got one. Every one of us got one of them crazy, embarrassing family members. You can talk about them. Your whole family can talk about it, but not anybody else. No, don't be coming up in here talking about my crazy cousins and them. We can, but not you. You ain't family. So it's our mess. But the Democrats, man, for whatever reason, it's almost like they were not even born in this country. I mean, that whole party is like they just been dropped in from some other planet, like they don't have no background, no history with this country, like they simply want to destroy something that has provided a means of, you know, income for these folks, popularity, power, all of that, only to tear it down. It doesn't even make rational sense to me, and probably don't to them either. They're driven, I think, by something else. Something unseen. Something they probably don't even know that's driving them. This is my own cleverness, and I'm only doing this because... No, I'm like, you got something else going on the inside. Let's continue.
It makes us strong and successful and unites us under the common cause of freedom.
Oh, freedom.
And as we're all well aware, it has also turned this shining city on a hill into a magnet for criticism from nations foundering under the disastrous consequences of their great socialist experiment. I would implore my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to stop trying to fit in with these failing systems. Stop diminishing the cause of freedom because it inconveniences you.
She busted me up, y'all. American woman, stay away from me. Go on, Marcia, finish.
Abandon your fear of open debate. This constant refusal to engage says much more about the strength of your policy positions than it does about ours.
Woo-wee. Now, did y'all hear her drop that? She dropped that hot like a Tetris block. This woman just said, the way you guys approach getting your agenda done says a lot about what you up to. When you got to make sure you bully folks, shame folks, victimize folks, demonize folks, intimidate folks, send out the radicals to come to your house and show up and all of that mess, have some dang on fake, non-organic protesters pop up out of nowhere to harass folks, intimidate folks, that shows a lot about your agenda. That shows you have a raggedy one. That shows you lack the ability to persuade the folks to vote and support your cause. You got to intimidate them. You got to bully them. Same thing with these folks who think that their rights are being broken back. When you look at the LGBTQ double XY 3 negative semicolon backslash and all of those people, if you're that mad, that angry, and you showing up fussing and somebody mistakenly call you Mr. and you want to be called ma'am, and you got to go crazy on them, you got to show up at bakeries and fuss and harass folks and bully folks to make cakes for you and violate their moral codes, you think people are going to support you? You think that's the best method to get folks on board with your agenda? No, it's not. Even if they don't say nothing, in their mind, they're going, that's bullcrap. See, you're shoving it down my throat and telling me I should accept it. You don't accept things that are shoved down your throat. Same thing with the mods they're trying to shove in our you-know-what. You're not saying, hey, would you accept this or here's your choice? No, no. It's jumping from that to something else. Now I'm going, you think I want this? When I'm watching videos of you guys threatening to go door to door, you think my antennas are going to relax as I see y'all going, you know what? Y'all people need to relax. You're killing folks if you don't do it. That makes my antennas go up. You're using some phony tactics. You're now making me question your motive because, see, I got the basic common sense and intelligence to know that if it got that bad, you wouldn't have to be doing this. If it was that bad, you wouldn't have to go door to door. Folks would be going to your door, knocking. Now, you got that mops in there. I need it quickly. Folks are dead out here. Did you see all the bodies piled up? Yeah, I need the mops right now. But that's not happening. So now you want me to believe what you're telling me, okay, but not what I'm seeing. And that is how, uh-oh, somebody's angry. Did y'all hear that angry little man? He's mad about it too. Yeah, that's Gizmo down there. He's mad, y'all, for something. I don't know what you're mad at. Don't be mad for nothing, Gizmo. All right, so let's continue listening to Marcia wrap this up. Here we go. Oh, somebody said, what I think about Tom Brady. You know what? I briefly heard his comments, and some folks thought he was taking a jab at Trump, but I got to listen to him again. It sounded almost like he was kind of, you know, taking a jab at Biden, honestly. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. I got to rewatch it, and then I'll be able to comment a little bit more. Now, here we go.
Above all, stop ignoring the American people.
Oh, she's talking
they
about
didn't him. Vote for this. They do not want this. And it is so interesting to me every weekend to go home and listen to Tennesseans who talk about the changes that they have seen in the Democratic Party and the policies that are coming forward that they're rejecting because they do not want to give up their freedom.
Thank you.
They are willing to fight for their freedom so that their children and their grandchildren know the promises of the American dream and how the opportunity to live their lives in freedom. I yield the floor.
You bust me all up, Marcia. She made me feel all funny on the inside, y'all, when she talked like that. Girl, you know what? What? Another person who's dear and near to my heart. Now, I ain't going to be singing no songs to this person, except for like more masculine, manly songs, you know what I'm saying? But we all know this man as President Trump.
He wanted nothing to do with it. He just didn't want to do it.
Who is he talking about, y'all?
But perhaps it's understandable because he did become a different man. I always liked him.
Who is he talking about?
But I said, Bill, you got to move your ass.
Bill, wait a minute. You're talking about that raggedy Bill Barr? That's what you're talking about, President Trump? You telling me that Bill Barr didn't have a backbone? You're telling me that guy that came out of the blocks looking sweet, somebody who ran like the 400-yard dash who took off too fast? Were you saying, man, that dude's going to break a record? And then they hit that last 150 yards and run completely out of gas. That's what that dude did. Let's hear what Trump got to say about him. And how he, unfortunately, didn't just betray Trump. He betrayed the nation.
Our country is under attack. But he became a different man when the Democrats viciously stated that they wanted to impeach him.
Oh.
They went wild. What? We want to impeach him. We're going to impeach Bill Barr. We're going to impeach him. He became different.
Now, is that the kind of leader we want? That buckles to the pressure? Okay. Did you think anything less? Did you think the Democrats was just going to let Bill Barr come in there and just wreak havoc? I mean, where is your spine? These folks in politics that jumped on board with Trump and even showed promise of draining the swamp, showed promise of being, you know, for the people. It's almost as if they've never observed the Democrat Party. It's almost as if they have no idea what socialism looks like, communism looks like, corruption looks like. The stuff that they overlooked, the stuff that they claimed they didn't recognize or they couldn't get involved in, I'm going, a novice would see something's wrong here. Someone who doesn't study law would have some suspicions about the things that we observed. Anybody with some common sense that's not that partisan would say, now wait just a minute. Randomly changing all of these procedures leading up to the third. All of these, just bypassing all of the local and the state requirements, just blew through all of that stuff. And you telling me Barr didn't recognize that? Ray didn't recognize that? Doing stuff that we've never seen before. Just shutting down, you know, the county in the middle of the night. I mean, multiple states all in one. All right, 3, 2, 1, shut it down. Oh, everybody go home. Go. You guys go. We'll start it up in the morning. Are they gone? Okay. Right now, their right arm is way bigger than their left. That's how much they was in there that night with the right arm. Just looked like they was in there judo chopping. And yet, Barr and all them didn't notice that. Hmm? The media act like I didn't see nothing. Barr didn't notice that big old fat Hunter Biden laptop with all that intel on there. He didn't notice that. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, you know? See, if this dude isn't exposed and somehow become president, he's compromised. Barr didn't notice that. He didn't think like that. Trump, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you had the guts, but he didn't have the backup. Now, I will say this before we listen to the rest of this. If he gets back in or someone like him, when you get in, you got a clean house. There can be no leftover swamp rats, nothing. You got to come in and completely clean the house. I'm talking, you better come in fumigating. Come in that mug, just foam everything. I would start with some of these military leaders. I would get rid of their tails. I would get rid of all of the DOJ, the the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, all of it got to go. Because right now, it's all tainted. We don't know how deep it goes. I can't trust nobody. And the only way us as American citizens who felt that we have been just ran straight over in our face, like, yeah, we did it. What y'all going to do? The only way we will ever regain a smidge of trust is we need to see a revamping of it all. We need to see them. You cannot get in there talking about, I'm going to try to be bipartisan and try to work with it. No, no. Scratch that mess. Get it all out of there. I'm sorry. Might look like I'm a dictator, but I'm operating under the Constitution. As the president, I'm allowed to do this. So shut your mouths, because I'm wiping all of this mess out, bringing in new folks. Dang on it. Let's continue.
I understand that. I didn't become different. I got impeached twice. I became worse.
You became worse. I love it.
I became worse.
Yay. President Trump, yay.
So I guess I can understand it.
No.
We owe our country nothing less than that. Our glorious American inheritance was passed down to us by generations of American patriots who gave everything they had, their sweat, their blood, and even their way of lives to build America into the greatest nation in the history of the world. And we are not going to let it be taken away from us by a small group of radical left Marxist maniacs.
Thank you, President Trump. And obviously, these bubbleheads running around supporting this crap ignorantly don't understand what was sacrificed. Right now, if I was a person who died in World War One or Two, Vietnam, any of those wars, if I was able to come back and see this garbage, if I was able to come back and listen to a speech by Ilhan Omar, if I was able to come back and hear a speech by Alexandria Cortez, or even Nasty Pelosi or Chuck Schumer, if I was able to come back and hear any of these Democrats talking about police are systemically racist and all of this mess, man, I would be like, everything I sacrificed was in vain. Some of these dudes that went off in World War One and Two, these dudes were 18, some even younger. Some dudes weren't even old enough. They lied just to go off and fight and defend their country. If I was a dude who fought in the Civil War, and I fought, you know, to abolish slavery, and then I'm hearing these folks run around talking about all white people are racist, all systemic racism and stuff. Do you understand? I would go fuck wild as a ghost. I would haunt them. They would all night. I wouldn't give them no rest. I would be up in that mug tap dancing on their bed all night long, singing all night long, all night. All night long, there are ghosts haunting me from the Civil War. He won't let me be. Well, how about you shut your mouth and start supporting the country and start being a little more positive and start recognizing all the sacrifices that allow you to get on the microphone and spew up vomit all over the place. They don't get it, man. They just don't get it. So therefore, now we're stuck with this crap right here.
Well, I want to welcome back to the White House. Good. Loyal and decent friend, His Majesty, in addition to that,
what's your name again? Now I'm looking at this dude bumbling around talking to Your Majesty, who he never even mentioned his name, I don't think, because the whole time I'm watching this, this dude's looking at notes. You telling me you need notes? This man's right in front of you. Let's see this powerful opening.
Well, I want to welcome back to the White House. Good, loyal, and decent friend, His Majesty. In addition to that,
His Majesty is sitting there looking at him sideways. If you go and watch this, this dude's leaning completely. Like he's trying, you ever see like when dogs are kind of curious or they don't understand something, they always go like this, you know, And we think it's cute. We think it's cute. They'd be like, what the? What is that? What? Yeah. Well, that's what your majesty is doing. Your majesty is going, what is this? What in the, what is he talking about? And we talked about something. And God next to me, we said something that, man, what? And listen what happened.
In this pandemic, and you live in a tough neighborhood. That Jordan faces, and whoever's, is that a call for me on the phone?
Did that man just say, is that a call for me? So they done figured out a strategy, y'all, to bail Joe out. Phone calls now. Oh, man. So this man's in the middle of a press conference with your majesty of some country. And all of a sudden, he gets somebody he felt it was that important to step in and just say, a phone call. Hey, is that a phone call for me? We talked about the strategy to get me out of this mess if I go off the rails. That dude is so blew out right now. They got to throw in stuff like that. Yeah, you got a phone call. He's breaking. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's go with the phone call thing. Okay. Hey, Joe, you got a phone call. Oh, what? Well, I would tell him to wait, but I bet you it's important. So, Your Majesty, I'm sorry. We'll get back to you later. Unreal, man. But this dude is our president somehow, which we all know how. See, smart minds know how. But, guys, that's not even the worst of it. Listen to creepy, sleepy, sloppy, sleazy, slimy Joe try to convince the American people that he's doing a great job.
Washington. Everything feels in limbo right now, doesn't it? Most of us still getting used to not having to wear a mask when...
My boy. I like him. He's from Newsmax.
Oh, doesn't it? Most of us still getting used to not having to wear a mask when you walk inside of a private business.
Yeah.
Some of us just getting used to businesses being fully open, like here in New York. The economy is just as confusing. Is it healthy? Is it stable? Or is our economy just being propped up by trillions of dollars in spending? Biggest economic sugar high we've ever been on? Yeah. With all that swirling in our heads, a bizarre flex today from the president as the White House tries to convince Americans the country is on strong economic footing thanks to them. Biden today slamming the Trump economy and claiming everything turned around when he took office in late January. Take a listen.
We've gone from 60,000 jobs per month to 60,000 jobs every 3 days. More than 600,000 jobs per month since it took office. More than 3 million new jobs all told. That's the fastest growth, I'm told, at this point in any administration's history.
Just amazing. What's amazing is an incredible statement to try and pull that off with a straight face.
That is so true. So now, to the unlearned, to the bubbleheads, they're probably thinking, see, because we don't know nothing about economics or math or stuff like that. We think that we made a good choice. See, look at it. Everything's great. But yeah, this dude just got up there and tried to tout some extreme growth in these last couple months. Now, that would be like saying, here is a car, Lamborghini. We're rolling at 200 miles per hour. We come to a complete stop. And then we start up again and you say, you know what? This is the fastest acceleration ever in this car right here. But we're starting from zero. Yeah, it was at 200 miles per hour. It took forever to get up to 200 miles per hour. No, it didn't. It didn't. That person who was driving it took it up to 200 miles per hour, and they stopped because of whatever. And now that it started again, you're trying to take credit for, look at how fast we accelerated. So here's this guy where Ark ignited that bad boy again, honestly. And here he is coming in talking about, look, it's growing. Well, it's relative. If something is completely standing still, yes, it appears that it's growing quickly, but you're not responsible for that. But let's hear what this guy from Newsmax has to say about it.
Let's rewind back to January of this year. Trump's incredible economy was ripped apart by COVID lockdowns, much like the rest of the world. It was a liberal dream come true. The former president's crowning achievement had been dismantled, and he had just lost re-election. Even better, the newly approved vaccine is going into arms, and it's happening at a rapid pace, more than a million shots per day as Joe Biden takes office on January 20th. He was set up pretty nicely. From that point forward, the country began a pretty fast process of vaccinating Americans, and with that, the COVID numbers began to drop, and the nation began reopening and healing. And with that, a fully expected economic explosion happening despite Joe Biden's presidency, not because of it, but of
course. Wow. Now, why didn't Joe mention all of that? Why didn't he bring in all of those other factors? Why? Do you think that for whatever reason, just like he's trying to take the credit for the vaccine and all of that good stuff, which, I mean, he could own that crap because we don't know what's going to come out of that later on anyway. So I don't care, you know. But nonetheless, this man has been trying to take credit for stuff that Trump did the whole way. He got into office and straight put it on cruise control. Cruise control, like, okay, things are going great. I'm going to sit back and just take the credit. All right, here we go.
Of course, the left likes to repeat a lie until everybody just thinks it's the truth. Former Obama economic advisor Robert Reich tweeted this one out last week, and I couldn't help myself but laugh. In just 5 months, the American economy has added 3 million jobs under Joe Biden. It took Trump his entire first year to add 1.8 million jobs. Tell me again, Democrats are bad for the economy. Again.
Once again, deceptive. So this dude is touting these numbers. Trump in 1 year took a raggedy economy that wasn't at a complete stop. It was at a stalemate. It was just dragging along. Had no signs of accelerating, no signs of lift, nothing. Trump took that bad boy and took it straight up like that. Then this dude comes in and the people sitting still on the runway. Okay, not right. At least when Trump came in, the plane was on the runway moving and he took it up. Joe comes in, the plane's standing still. All right, let's start moving. Look at how quickly we're going from a standstill, though. And this dude is touting this because he's relying on the ignorance of people. Here we go.
And can you imagine writing a tweet like that with a straight face, knowing what we know about COVID and what we just went through? A joke. It's beyond a joke. Now, Robert Reich fashions himself as an economist.
What?
Over at NBC, they think he was. Not many other people do. He's well-studied, but he's also a left-wing ideologue, dealing his political agenda into a place where leftism does not belong, a capitalist society. And like any good economist with an agenda, Reich is happy to blatantly lie. The truth is this. Even if the president was a 10-year-old kid picking his nose and wiping it on the Oval Office curtains, the economy would be exploding right now. It's just a fact.
And he probably is. That's the sad part about it. After we just heard him sitting there with your majesty, he probably was picking boogers. Oh, he probably has a booger wall right behind him. Excuse me, your majesty. Yeah. Yeah, no. Are you going to wipe that on me? Please don't touch me. No shaking hands, Joe. So now, here's Joe trying to act like he's doing stuff and ain't doing nothing. Okay, he is just shuffling along at this point, trying to keep Kamala Chameleon Harris from taking over. All right, here we go.
This is all happening despite your government, not because of it.
Oh.
Sadly, in this administration, all government does to our economy is hinder it.
Yeah.
But don't let that stop them from taking credit for stuff that they've had no impact on whatsoever. Here's more from today.
The number of new unemployment claims has been cut by more than half since I took office.
Congratulations, Mr. President. We've already been through this, though. What's interesting is while unemployment improves, we still have a problem with employment, which is such a bizarre thing.
That is. That right there is an anomaly. So you're telling me unemployment has went down, but employment has not increased? How'd that happen? I don't understand. Maybe this guy from Newsmax can flush that out a little better.
A Morning Consult poll showing 1.8 million Americans have turned down jobs because of added unemployment benefits. The Biden White House desperately working to...
Somebody said, who is this? He is a reporter from Newsmax. I really like this dude, too. On the clip, let me see. His name will pop up in a second. I'll let you know, okay?
Marginalize this problem, but this story really is a big deal. And this is something I hear about from businesses all the time. You probably hear it too. You probably notice the for hire signs everywhere you go. You go to places where there aren't enough waiters. Everybody's been through this. Restaurant owners, business owners say we can't find anybody to come back to work.
Okay.
It's all over the country. Right now it's very hard to find people who make under $25 an hour. The enhanced federal benefits are not set to expire until September. For some reason, they want this to continue. Though Republican governors, we should say, in 25 states have ended these jobless benefits early, and some have been sued for that. The bizarre story of our tandem employment and unemployment problem is an important story. It validates what conservatives have known for a long time about running an economy. The more you disincentivize work, of course, the less people will work. It's not a complicated lesson to learn.
Yeah, and yet they said that has nothing to do with these unemployment numbers a couple months back. When those numbers came out and they were raggedy, and they start asking questions, excuse me, do you think the unemployment extension is a result of these low job numbers? There's no data that shows that there's a correlation between that. I'm going, you're stupid. If you believe that, if you can't understand basic human nature, I mean, I might not support the policy, but at the same time, I'm smart enough to say, well, heck, if you're going to give me more than I was making at my job and give me the extended remix version, why not take it? Keep the party going. But these folks say it has nothing to do with it. Just like they say, all of this increase in crime has nothing to do with us defunding the police, demonizing the police, all of that mess, reimagining policing. This is how they belittle the intelligence of the American people that are impressionable. But us, we see through that mess. All right, continue, because guys, guess what? Burger King's hiring.
It's bizarre the left refuses to accept this very basic fact of human nature. Okay. Welfare begets more welfare. Okay. COVID gave us enhanced unemployment, and now we have more people taking unemployment.
Yeah.
Shocker. We have literally millions of able-bodied people in this country right now fully capable of going back to work, laying at home, watching TV, and collecting your money.
Oh.
It's so bad, many companies are forced to offer major incentives to entice people to come back. Burger King.
What?
Burger King is offering a $1,500 signing bonus.
What? Did y'all hear that? Burger King, $1,500 signing bonus. That was my first job, y'all. Okay. Now, man, I didn't get no $1,500 signing bonus for Burger King. You would think they were starting at some dang old Procter & Gamble. I mean, this, do you know how much $1,500 is for a 16, 17-year-old? Zip, my name is Pete. I go to a local high school down here. It's my first job. Did I hear something about $1,500? Get that mess and quit about 3 months later? Unbelievable, man. But yet, this is where we're at because Joe Biden's wonderful economy. Now, how long do you think this type of economy can sustain itself? Because they're making it seem like this right here is now the new standard in regards to our economy. Well, we're moving on up to the, I doubt it. Gizmo, don't you hit my cords. Go on now, go. Scram, oh, scram, scram, Gizmo, scram for me. He knows too, y'all. He walked right on away from it. Like, okay, man, I don't want no trouble. All right, here we go.
It's like going to the NBA, a signing bonus. It sounds great to people that work at Burger King, and Biden can brag that he's raising wages in some weird way, but most understand it's not sustainable if we want a healthy economy and strong labor participation rate.
Not at all.
Last week, Biden did say communism is bad and socialism is not a good substitute. We were happy to hear that. Clearly, White House focus groups are indicating that embracing collectivism will lead to crushing losses in 2022 and 2024 because, again, today, Biden backed capitalism.
He did? Finally?
Another prediction. That is my favorite one, I must add, is that if I got elected, I'd bring the end to capitalism. I never understood that one, but
you know what's crazy? Every time he laughs, it's fake. Everything about the Democrats is fake. Kamala's laugh is fake. Hillary's laugh is fake. This dude, like, yeah, stupid. Remember when Putin, that's Putin. Yeah, that's funny. And I'm going, every time you laugh, that lets me know you're disingenuous. So here he is. Chuckling, like, yeah, that's stupid, that's silly. Of course you're bringing the end of capitalism. You're just doing it slowly. You're doing it stealthily. That's what you're doing. As soon as you came in and you start destroying the pipelines, as soon as you came in and you start giving the extended remix on all of these social programs, as soon as you start doing all of that, you pretty much stuck a fork in capitalism, and yet you're trying to say, oh, it's growing, and I'm not killing it because I'm giving out money to people. And I took an economy that was almost at a standstill, and look, folks are actually going back to work a little bit, and it makes me look like I'm doing stuff. But give it about a year or two and see what happens. Watch the Boeing 747
We've heard an awful lot. Well, in 6 months into my administration, the U.S. economy has experienced the highest economic growth rate in nearly 40 years.
40 years.
Well, yeah, when you turn the thing on, it's going to go up pretty quick. We said it last week, and it remains true today. The policies of this administration do not match the rhetoric. Uh-oh. Andy Kessler wrote a fantastic op-ed today in the Wall Street Journal defining the Biden economic policies as flat-out anti-capitalist.
Oh.
He lays out the backward Biden policies that are hindering a true bounce back of our economy,
backward.
Crushing American energy independence, raising taxes, rebranding massive government social programs as human infrastructure. Kessler writes, Mr. Biden's policies will likely hurt low-income folks the most by squishing capital formation and job creation, squelching opportunity. Biden attempting to brand his excessive regulations and government intervention as creating a better capitalism, but the impact of these decisions will become visible at some point.
Sure.
We're going to figure this out. It's confusing right now, but we will. It'll likely come in the form of a soft recovery, much like the Obama recovery.
Rob Schmidt. Yeah, Rob Schmidt with the S-C-H, Schmidt.
From the 2008 crisis, we will kind of limp along for the next few years, very slowly recover. Most people will probably not be able to realize that with different leadership and less government, we could have advanced much, much faster.
So give us some numbers, Rob.
A giant portion of Biden's speech this morning was just pushing his new child tax credit. Take a look.
For families of the least, this money will do the most, dramatically reducing child poverty in America. And for millions of middle-class families, will give them a little bit of breathing room every month. That's just one example of how we're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out.
They're giving away a lot of money right now. People that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year are getting $500 checks from
don't
their government.
Don't do it to
me, Bob. Government.
Don't bust
bottom up and middle out, he says. But there's a serious cost to all the money we've printed out and given out, and that, of course, is inflation. And we have these numbers, the price of lumber, 125% increase, 45% for automobiles, gas up 45%. Milk up 7.5%.
Wait a minute, hold up. I'm trying to do the math. So wait a minute. You telling me this man get up there touting all of this mess and didn't tout the other part of it? Okay, so let me see. All right, the kids get a little bonus. Now I'm going to have to factor in. I got to pay for my deck. Okay, it used to be maybe $500 for the wood. Now it's $3,000 because that went up 125%. Let's see, cars. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm going to replace mine, and that one, so I was looking at one that was a 1975 Pontiac Le Mans, and it was $2,000, now it's $8,000. That went up 45%. Gas, whoa. It's starting to cut into that little tax credit or whatever he was talking about with the kids, because gas done went up 45%. Milk does the body good, but it doesn't do that pocket, because that milk went up 7.5%. Where's the bonus? I'm sorry. It's getting absorbed. You got my smart glasses all crooked because you punched me in the face with these types of inflations. Let's continue.
Here's the White House today, still trying to ease this growing and very much more real concern.
And certainly we're seeing prices go back to pre-pandemic levels. In some cases, we're also seeing a range of factors, including shortages in the supply chain, from chip shortages that are impacting the auto industry to lumber shortages that are impacting the housing industry that are also factors here as we're seeing price increases.
Just remember that free government money is coming at a cost. Everything's going to go up. This is why it doesn't work. We saw inflation rise by 5.4% in the past year, June to June.
That's
trouble.
Now, guess what, y'all? It doesn't stop there because we found out something else. Y'all, let's check this out.
Taking the White House 6 months ago, the Biden administration has, from the very beginning, used immigration to change the demographic mix of our country, not to improve the country or the lives of people who come here, but to flood the United States with loyal new Democratic voters so that America becomes a one-party state in perpetuity. This is their version of democracy, where if you don't like the outcome, you just change the electorate. That's true. You're absolutely not allowed to acknowledge this is happening. If you do, they will scream that you're a conspiracy nut, you're a bigot, you must be silenced forever.
So if I'm getting this straight, you telling me these Democrats that position themselves in all of these key positions in America to where they can pull stuff off like this and nobody holds them accountable? I mean, I'm looking right here at a full-blown picture of hundreds and hundreds of illegal immigrants that have shirts on that says, Biden, please let us in by the hair on our chinny chin chin. So, you kidding me? And nobody, Americans are that sleep. Your folks walking around straight up in a coma and they don't see this. They're not making this connection. What is the key factor that's making these folks come? I mean, it's pretty obvious. They are wearing a billboard. They're walking around just straight up doing advertisement. Biden, we're on our way. Unreal, man. So let's see then this diabolical scheme and what's their end game. So let's see. Here we go. All right.
At the hard way a couple of months ago. The great replacement theory, it's a lie, they yelled. George Soros has nothing to do with that. Stop talking.
Yeah,
but because the people who make the rules can say whatever they feel like saying, the very same Democrats who yell at you, if you mention this, brag in public about the great replacement. They acknowledge that it's real, and they love it. Here's the dwarfish Dick Durbin of Illinois doing just that today on the Senate floor. Watch this.
The demographics of America are not on the side of the Republican Party. The new voters in this country are moving away from them.
Now, see, right there. What is he talking about? Where's these new voters? See, this is what's getting me right here. This is the stuff that makes me upset when he say these new voters in America. Now, if you're talking about American citizens, because they wouldn't be new voters unless they just turned 21 or 18, rather. I mean, is he talking about them? What new voters is this man referring to? I didn't know that 18-year-olds make that much of an impact in voting. Or could it be? Folks that don't even belong in the country. Huh. Let's finish hearing what Dick got to say.
Away from Donald Trump. Away from their party creed that they preach.
Away from Donald Trump. Away from the party creed that I wonder if he's referring to all of those Cubans that like what Trump is talking about. They like what the conservatives believe in. We don't believe in this garbage that they believe in. We don't believe in shoving stuff down your throat. We don't believe in big government. We don't believe in fascism, communism, Marxism, and all the other schisms. We don't believe that every 2 seconds you need to be bombarded with you're a homophobe, you're a xenophobe, you're a racist. None of that mess. If that was the case, those folks wouldn't be rocking the American flags. Now, isn't it kind of funny that all of the folks coming from the South, South America, is coming not with American flags on, but with our Biden shirts. Biden, we're coming. Okay. But Cubans are trying to come here with the American flag. That's why they're not given access. That's why they go, they put that mess down. We hate that thing. What are you doing? Flag, we don't want that. We hate that. We encourage all of our radicals to burn that sucker along with the Constitution. Now, that Biden flag on all of those people makes us know that these folks aren't interested in politics. They're coming because they're interested in economics.
Mm-hmm.
Those Cubans are coming because they're interested in politics. They're interested in freedom. They're interested in our republic. They're trying to escape what the Democrats are trying to put in place. That's why those Cubans need to find another place. We'll shove that little boat right on back out there. Don't be coming in here with that mess. And guys, it even gets worse. See, because remember, this right here is not them trying to, you know, change the demographics of America. This is not them trying to use identity politics and critical race theory, Marxist race theory, to divide us. No. So I think we better dive in just a little deeper and find out what this critical race theory, Marxism is about. And what better way to do that than Michael Knowles is doing, I guess, a seminar or something? Oh, here we go.
What is critical? Use this term, and yet people don't seem to know what it means. Well, you can read the academic literature on it. It's developed by this woman, Kimberly Crenshaw. There are a number of other people who have contributed to this particular subset of critical theory. But it's probably easier just to watch a video on what critical theory looks like in action. Queer agent, femme writer, artist, and cultural producer.
Y'all hear that? Did y'all hear her title, her credentials? She's what? Oh, God.
this particular subset of critical theory. But it's probably easier just to watch a video on what critical theory looks like in action. Here is Ashley Shackelford, a quote.
She just can't be Ashley Shackelford. She can't just be that. Okay, so what is she?
Queer, agender,
black fat,
at femme, right?
Femme?
Writer, artist.
Right, do you know what? Bad part of somebody called, hey, queer, fat, black girl, come here for a minute. She'd have a fit. She would have a complete conniption. Hey, fat, black. I'm sorry. Did I mix it up? Black, fat. What do you want to be called? So you can call yourself all of this stuff. But I guarantee you, if a white man called her that, she would have an egg right there. Like a chicken. Drop that egg right out in the middle of the street. You said what? We would have omelets. That's how many eggs she would drop. But here she is now talking to a whole room of idiots, okay? That's all I can define these people as, especially considering they didn't get up and punch her in the face.
Listen. And cultural producer. She is giving a lesson, political lens of critical race theory, to a group of deluded and poor white people. I think it's sort of a mixed crowd here. This is what CRT looks and sounds like in practice.
White people are racist. So I put this up because I really want any white person in the room to know.
Okay. Now I'm looking at her and I can see why she slid in the overweight part. Now, see, here's the funny part about this, guys. It's not that she's overweight. Okay. It's not the fact that she's a heavyset lady. It's the fact that she's a heavyset lady in a full body suit. You don't come out in that full spandex suit at that size. You put something on that complements your physique. You now are coming out looking like the Hulk. She got this green full-blown spandex suit on, and wow. That's all I can say is wow. Now, I'm not even being judgmental on her. I'm talking about anybody dumb enough to do that. There was a time in Kev's life. If I wanted to rock a white beater, I'm talking about a real one, the ones that's white and is supposed to be worn under your shirt, T-shirt. Yeah, there was a time I could put that on and feel good about it. Not now, man. See, I think if you can't see my abs through that shirt, I don't need to be rocking a white beater. Okay? When I come out, I'm not going to expect you to overlook my flabs because I got a big chest and big arms, but a big stomach to go along with it. No, you're not going to overlook that. You're going to say, hey, even though you're trying to distract me with the arms and the chest and all that stuff, I see those flabs. Those aren't abs. Why are you wearing that shirt? Same thing with her. Green spandex right there, man of life. But I got her green spandex. But let's continue.
So up front that this is what we're dealing with, that it's not going to be this coddling of white tears and what that looks like. We're not going to discuss, oh, maybe some of us have worked it out. No, you're always going to be racist, actually.
What?
So even when you're on your path to trying to figure out how to be a better human being, because I believe that white people are born into not being human, like that actually instead of people...
Why is she able to talk? Why is she able to talk, y'all, at all? So if I'm hearing this correctly, you want us to take you serious, Ashley Fatback, and you're out there in a full green spandex type suit and telling all these white people that they're racist. There's no way you cannot be racist, and you're born racist, and you're not human, not even human. And I'm watching the reaction. There's one black lady I've seen her, and she's uncomfortable. There's a black lady in there going, oh, shoot. I hope you're not responsible, black lady, for bringing this person in as a speaker. Because all these white folks are sitting there looking around like, is there a camera on this? We getting punked? Did she just say we're not human?
Color and black folks being dehumanized, that actually everyone is dehumanized off rip within white supremacy, that y'all are born into a life to not be human, and that's what y'all are taught to do, to be demons. So
to be demons. To be demons. Yeah, Stacey Abrams. That's what it sounds like. Because, I mean, this right here, if this was a white person, do you understand this would be ran on CNN, MSNBC, This would be having that darn DOJ, the new AG. Yes, you know what? It's horrible. White hate, and we have white rage. Like just the other day, this fat white guy or fat white girl or whoever she calls herself was just saying that all black people are not even human. They're born demons. Born demons. And we're supposed to take her serious. And that big green jumpsuit.
Oh, in this particular way, white people are all racist.
There you have it. There is the lesson. Did you take notes? I hope you took notes so that you can crumple them up and throw them in the fire. This sort of stuff is not just valueless. This sort of woman doesn't just have nothing of value to say. This sort of stuff is bad for your brain. It's bad for your mind. It's anti-education.
Yeah.
It's making you dumber and less well-behaved and less sophisticated. It needs to be banned from the classroom like you would ban poison from your recipes.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. But this is the poison they're trying to feed all of our kids in school. This is tolerated by the left. This should be condemned by every single human in America. To listen to this woman as a black person, I'm embarrassed for her. I'm embarrassed. I'm saying, man, if I was a white guy, you know, trying to be open-minded, I don't have a lot of experience around people of color and black folks. Maybe I was born, if I'm Bob, and I'm like, look, man, I'm trying, man. I'm trying, okay? See, let me tell you something. Bob here, the stereotypical white nationalist Trump supporter. I wasn't born, man, and raised around all of those black folks and Latinos and all of the rest of them and stuff, and walking their dually ropes and stuff, wearing their hairstyles, asymmetrics and fat backs and mohawks and stuff like that, high top fades. Wasn't born around that stuff, man. Wasn't rocking all of that boo-boo-boo in the back of my pickup, okay? That stuff right there mess up your hearing, okay? Now listen, I really want to learn about the black culture. Now, what is this? Fat black. What's she talking about? That girl fat and black, and she ever say we demons? Let me tell you something. This why I say this country needs to go back to being all white, man, because fat black is up there telling all of us, we demons, man. We demons. You messing up, Bob. He's trying. But yet, here we got this chick up there saying stupid stuff like this, man, not representing black folks at all. But yet, she got a platform. Somebody paid her to go in and do this mess. Speaking of which, y'all, we got a story of a brave young man right here. His name is David. And they actually got www.givesendgo.com. Support David. Huh. Why should we support this young black man? Well, we're about to find out.
CRT whistleblower from inside the toy giant Hasbro is coming forward and exposing how Hasbro allegedly forced employees to be subjected to bizarre training seminars, including claims of babies being racist at just a few months old.
So wait a minute, y'all. Did y'all just hear this, man? So my man David, who blows up their narrative, because see, David, y'all, I'm about to hit y'all with the surprise, y'all. He's black. Now, David works for Hasbro, the toy store. Now, remember, guys, we heard a montage of all of these folks on the liberal networks telling us that CRT is not a thing. We're not forcing that upon the kids. It's only for college students and stuff like that. Now we find that there's been a secret plot to introduce this mess to the kids through the toy company. And I'm glad this young, brave black brother right here exposed it.
My name is David Johnson. I'm a packaging engineer for Hasbro. They are attempting to covertly push CRT, critical race theory, through branding and messaging through their products.
Children as young as 2 are already using race to reason about people's behaviors.
2-year-old racist is just an absurd concept.
Did y'all hear what Hasbro? Now, I'm glad David recorded this. So they're having a secret meeting of the, I guess, the dark side, all of them in their cloaks and hoods and stuff, probably came out like, all right, now we will push racism. So they got David on board, probably thinking he's black. I'm sure he'll join in. He loves this kind of stuff. See, they kind of look at us like Mikey off that old commercial. Let's give it to Mikey. He would eat anything. So they want to get us the black folks thinking that David's going to be like, darn right, we need to make these toys more diverse. But yet David rejects this because they're trying to tell us two-year-olds are racist.
By 3 to 6 months, babies
Wait a minute. Hold up. She might have went back before.
Children as young as 2 are already using race to reason about people's behaviors.
A 2-year-old racist is just an absurd concept.
By 3 to 6 months, babies are beginning to notice and already express preference by race. By age 3, children are already starting to apply stereotypes. They also may use racist language intentionally at this age.
Do you hear this, dummy? Do you? Who hires these people, man? Who hires? Thank you, David. We would have never known, even though I would. As I watched the commercials, all of a sudden we can't find, you know, everybody in a commercial is somebody of color. Hello, my name is this. And, you know, and I'm not knocking that. But if you're doing it just for that, that's the problem I have. See, the whole point of critical race theory, to me, is an insult. When you start saying, you know what, Kev, we're going to give you additional privileges because you know what, you're just not that good. If I would have gotten a scholarship to Miami University as a running back just because I was black, I would have been upset. Kev, honestly, you're horrible. You probably can never hit the field, but we got to fill this quota. We don't want to look like we're biased and don't like black people, so we're going to go ahead and let you start. Okay, now I can't get out there feeling good about Kev's performance, feeling good about my skills. I'm going out there going, man, I'm pretty much a handicap, and they're just tolerating me. So here they are driving this mess in every movie, every commercial, all of that crap, and now in toys. And they're saying at 3-something months or old, these kids are starting to make choices based on race and preference. Okay, they're not child psychologists, I'm assuming, for the simple fact, and even if they were, they're raggedy ones. If they got this data from some child psychologist that actually works for the DNC or somebody, then throw that mess out. For the simple fact, me growing up as a black kid, guess what I see most of the time at 3 to 4 months? Black people. I'm sorry. Unless I was adopted and I've been adopted by, you know, Philip Drummond and all of them. I don't know what you're talking about, Willis. I'm seeing black folks. When I grew up, I saw a lot of black folks because guess what? We lived in a black neighborhood. My parents were black. Grandparents were black too. Cousins and them, brother, friends, all of them were black. So guess what? By default, you know what? I gravitated towards things that I go, hey, I guess everyone's black. I'm only 3-4 months, and that's all I see. Then you get old enough, becoming conscious of, oh, there's other races, and I'm watching TV, and I say, hey, Mom, why does that person look different? Oh, that's a white person. You don't go, what is this crap? They think they're better than us. These folks are creating these things in the minds of kids. Not the kids, but yet David's brave enough to point this crap out.
Is critical race theory in practice? They explain that the white children in particular have the particular bias against black people.
Children as young as 2 are already using race to reason about people's behaviors, and we may see this play out in daycare or on the playground and how kids are starting to choose or exclude playmates.
Now, you know what? Y'all hear this? This is funny because, see, I worked at a daycare, and I worked with kids for a long time, long time. First job when I left Miami and moved to Cincinnati, got a job at a daycare. I worked in every one of those classrooms. One time they actually stuck me in the infant room because somebody had to go on break. It was funny. I didn't know what to do. I'm looking at these things like, what does this thing do? Why is it leaking? What do you want me to do? Why won't it stop crying? Where's the button to turn this off? I held those little babies like footballs. That's how I held them. I wasn't coddling them kids. Now, we had black, Latino, all kind of kids in that daycare. Not once did I see a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to the school-age kids. Not once did I see any of them use any language that sound like it was race-aided or race-based, rather. I didn't see them make any preferences towards friends or stuff. All the white kids played with the black kids. Nobody excluded anybody. And yet these folks are trying to tell us that's happening. And yet, I mean, it wasn't like I did this for a couple months. I did this for a while. I observed kids in all of these, you know, environments. And I never once had to step in and say, that's inappropriate, the way you looked at that black kid or what you said to that black kid or none of that. Where's she getting this from? Huh? Or is she making it up like they've been doing?
Regarding product content and anti-blackness, a large portion of media or products are centered around or perpetuates anti-blackness.
What is anti-blackness? It's centered around anti-blackness. So if you have a commercial without a black person in it that's anti-black, if you have a toy that is not black or a toy of color, anti-black. Anything that's not for black people is anti-black now. What are they trying to do? Where are they trying to go with this critical race theory? See, because this is what it's going to come down to. Create a black nation. How about that? And all of the liberals, the white dumb liberals, can move to the black nation with the black folks who's dumb enough to create a black nation because they think that these folks are really supporting their cause and they got these black folks mad for nothing. So if you want it like that, because there's no solution with these people. When you start saying things like this, I mean, almost everything is anti-black. Now, if I'm a person selling a product, if I got bottled water, I'm scared. Oh, man, is my product anti-black? See what I got on this thing. It says Glacier. Most black people's never been there. We better remove that. Even though they have no desire to go to the glaciers, they've showed no interest in going to the glaciers. But we want to just go ahead and be, you know, safe. So let's put the hood. Wait, no, that might sound a little stereotypical. So instead of calling it glacier mist, we could have called it hood mist, but that would be a little too. How about call it racially sensitive mist? And then, now that's white. Right there, you see that? That's white snow caps. Can we make those black? Can we make those snow caps black? So how about split the nation? If y'all want to go ahead and hash it all out over racism, that's not a big issue. If y'all want to drum up some issues that aren't issues, if you want to mess up your kids, then go somewhere, create black land, create racism land, create whatever land, loony land, all of that, get out of here. Let the folks want to enjoy life, love everyone as Americans, have peace. That's all we want. We don't want to have to watch commercials and be seeing you trying to pervert the minds of all the kiddies and stuff. Let's continue, man.
And research shows that negative or deficient depictions of blackness in media and products perpetuates this anti-blackness as well as aversive racial attitudes toward black people.
We are told.
What is that? What is this? You know how long it's... Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't want to date myself, but I've been around for a minute. I know I got that nice black melanin skin. Just trying to keep it together in my old age. But I will say this. I've been around long enough to where if this was a problem, I would have known it. I grew up with the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Crew. I grew up getting those Rock'em Sock'em robots. I grew up. There was Barbies and Kens around. There was all these toys. Not once did I make a choice on a superhero based on, I'm not getting that Superman because he's white. Get me Black Lightning. What? There's no Black Lightning dolls. This is madness. This is racism and segregation. I feel like I'm deprived. Not once. All these toys that I played with, and I had a whole heap of them, all those toys, not once did I go, you know what? This is making me have animosity towards black, white people. It's excluding me. They are making problems that aren't problems. They're going around looking for a reason to be mad. What they're doing is drumming up animosity and dividing the country for nothing.
That the insider has now been suspended. David, bring us inside here. This is like a seminar. You're being taught as working for Hasbro?
Sure. So it was a meeting I was told I needed to attend at work.
Okay. And you're hearing this stuff and it alarmed you to the point where you said, I got to record this.
Yeah, that's basically how it went. So originally, when I saw that I had a meeting focused around CRT, I just thought that I should have the foresight to record it just in case. But once you get like 5 minutes into the meeting and they start saying that you're 3 month old or 6 month old or you're just young child is racist because of how they were born. I just knew I had to send that off to somebody because I felt parents really need to know what was happening.
You said something very interesting on my radio show earlier today when I was asking you about this with James O'Keefe, and that's the reason why you were offended by all of this. I want people to understand where you're coming from.
Sure. So the reason I oppose CRT so much is because CRT teaches people, and at Hasbro, they wanted to teach children to judge people based on race, and that's not something that I feel that Dr. Martin Luther King would have supported. It's something that he wanted to end in this country. It's not the correct path forward that we should be taking. And so,
thank you, David. Now, guys, Sean Hannity is about to bring a former Mad for Nothing black man on to talk about this. None other than the newly reformed Leo. That's right, Leo 2.0, that used to be the angriest black man on the news all the time, back in the day, always. Man, you got it. Let me tell you something, you don't know. Now, Leo is on our squad. Ooh, he going to let Leo the lion out. Leo.
Oh,
you judge people by the content of their character.
Of course, yeah. We should judge people by their character and by their actions, not by how they are born.
Do you believe, Leo Terrell, that a 3 to 6 month old child have already decided racial preferences? That at 3, they're applying stereotypes using racist language, and by age 5, white children show same strong in-group pro-white bias as adults.
It's not true, it's a lie, but John, let me, I must say this. It is so, sir, I applaud you for what you have done, because people who support critical race theory think it's a black versus white situation. I want to make sure everyone hears this. People of all color are against critical race theory. Especially it's important for black American like you, sir, and myself to say we're not part of that. We believe in judging people by the character and not by skin color. So, sir, you have done a great job in throwing a wedge into critical race theory because they want you to believe
you.
That all of us support them. We do not. Thank you. Thank you very much.
David, let's talk about the status of your job. Where does it stand as of now?
As of now, I have been suspended. My access to all my accounts at Hasbro have been revoked, pending further investigation.
What's to investigate? What is to investigate? You're fired, David. I hate to tell you that. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Now, I know they're probably trying to figure out how to handle this. Yo, they probably also. It's easier to fire David if he was white. Oh, God, how do we get around this? He's black. He doesn't believe our manipulation and garbage. Can we just keep him on suspension forever and still pay him? So here we go. Let's see what Leo got to say about this.
Investigation into what?
Boycott Hasbro.
There, I thought, wait a minute. By the way, I thought we applauded whistleblowers. We had a hearsay, non-whistleblower,
yeah.
Whistleblower that led to an impeachment. I thought whistleblowers were courageous people.
You
so you
do.
Worried you're going to lose your job?
I'm not worried. And if that's the cost of speaking truth to power, then so be it. I feel like this is important enough that people need to know what's happening.
Leo, would you take his case on a legal basis?
Let me think about that. Yeah. Hasbro, you're in trouble.
Let me think about that.
Get him, Leo. They don't want Leo on their trail. They don't want the angriest, former angriest black man that was mad for nothing. Now, all of a sudden, the black man who's mad for something. He don't want being mad for nothing to being mad for something. So if they let Leo the lion out on them, they'll Hasbro be like, oh, now, wait a minute. Okay, look, man, hurry up. Just leave me be. Leave me be. So they might have just set David up. And I applaud David because this is not a very tolerable environment anymore for disobedient folks who don't line up with the liberal agenda. And David, man, I'm sure he knew. He didn't even go with the disguise, y'all. When he went to Project Veritas, this man had his face out. I'm like, David, I mean, obviously you didn't expect him to just be like, oh, well, you know, he got his right to, you know, there's going to be some backlash. Now, speaking of that, since we're on the topic of critical race theory, we're back to Newsmax. They brought this dude, I think his name is Jonathan. He usually shows up on Fox. Black dude. He wears a mohawk. And they're talking about all of these Democrats who decided to just hop on a jet and fly off to Washington, D.C. for some type of protest, because according to them, this is like Alabama back during the civil rights movement. And yeah, they took a stand. And he is debating against a man who looks like Colonel Sanders. And I'm not joking. That man looks exactly like Colonel Sanders, or that cartoon where the old man was mad. The old dude, I forget the name of the cartoon, but he was short and he had the gray hair and mad and with the glasses. But here they are talking about the decision for all these Democrats to bounce. Let's see how this debate goes.
So, Jonathan, I'll start with you as the Democrat on the panel. Is the appropriate action for these Democrats to do to try to make their point to, you know, leave on chartered jets with beer and be holed up in D.C. for 30 days not doing their job?
Well, I guess that's probably where I'll
see before Jonathan and his raggedy mohawk even get started, because I can't take him serious. I'm wondering how this man get on TV. I haven't had a cameo. I haven't gotten a chance to get on Newsmax or Fox or none of that. I'll even go on MSNBC. Or raggedy CNN to destroy them. But nonetheless, this man with lines in his hair and a big old box sitting, I mean, a mohawk right in the middle of his head, wants me to take him seriously. Now, granted, you know, man, I don't want to be too critical of him, but I am. So here he is about to support this mess. Now, I'm just a little concerned about their choice because, see, when I looked at those selfies of all them cheesing and smiling and having a good time and beer, I don't recall Martin Luther the King and all of them, when they was going out to protest in Selma and all of those places, they weren't beard up. They were, yeah, yo, we about to kick it, man. It was serious. These folks are not serious. These folks were going out for a political stunt, and they want us to think they're really mad. They're really serious. They're fighting for the cause. As they beer up, jump on a private jet, shoot off, and neglect their responsibilities, and then they bring Jonathan on to try to defend this garbage.
I would disagree with you. I do think that they're doing their job. I think that they're going to the nation's capital to stand up for their principles. And some people might disagree with the choice, but they firmly believe that these new voting law suggestions in Texas are detrimental to voters, to Texas voters, and they're standing up for that. So, I mean, I think it was a good thing for them to do. I think it was reasonable. I thought it was odd of Ted Cruz, of all people, to criticize them for doing it when Ted Cruz went to Cancun during a natural disaster. I mean, I think it was Julian Castro was even telling Ted Cruz to maybe sit this one out. So, I'm glad to see them standing up for their principles and not just kind of going along with
no,
it.
No, That's not Richard. This is Jonathan Harris. Now, y'all hear him going in talking about this garbage. Colonel Sanders is about to come off the bench on him.
Would have been very disappointing to, I think, the Democrat base.
Yeah. I'm not sure that there was anything that Ted Cruz could have actually done during that particular crisis in the state of Texas. Bob, what do you think about this? Because this is some actions that these folks, these Democrats, they're paid to be in the state of Texas and, you know, debate or take up this issue. But instead, they're trying to block it by not allowing a quorum to be reached.
Well, Jonathan does what Democrats do all the time now. They just take the cheap shots. Ted Cruz has nothing to do with this, and his going on vacation with his daughters has nothing to do with this, but they cannot resist, you know, these cheap...
Colonel Sanders is giving it to Jonathan. How are you going to get beat up by Colonel Sanders? How are you going to get punched in the face by Colonel Sanders? Getting some more Colonel...
silly shots. To claim, as Jonathan and the president and many other Democrat leaders are claiming, that you do your job by not doing your job is laughable on its face. There are so many ways that Democrats in Texas, the same as Democrats in other states or Republicans in other states, can deal with these matters, have disagreements, work within the system as responsible adults without just fleeing to another state to, you know, play games. I mean, this is just a game that they're playing. It will end fairly soon because I don't think the voters will long put up with this sort of childish prank.
Oh, okay. Y'all hear Colonel Sanders give it to him? Jonathan brought that all the way on himself because that's all they're doing. They're playing a stupid, silly behind game. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not even going to let y'all hear the rest of that because I got some other stuff I need to get to. I saw somebody, though, real quick talk about bye-bye Olympics. You're right. They have shot themselves right in their big old toe. Before I move on to our next topic, I saw a video today that our so-called soccer girls that was undefeated got skunked Now, maybe that's just, you know, divine intervention. Maybe that's a wake-up call. But the sad part about it, I don't care. In fact, I'm kind of pleased because they also took a knee. Not only did they take a knee, but all these other women who were, I guess, on the soccer field took a knee too. And it's all really based off of what their perception is of what's going on in America. So they have now set the tone for even other countries, stupid, ignorant young ladies, that soccer players, joining in with this so-called, you know, take a knee. So now they're creating hatred and animosity towards their own country by other countries. A misconception. People who don't live here, people who don't understand the culture, people who don't understand that these folks are being moved around on a chessboard. So in their eyes, they probably legitimately think that we're living in 1960, 1954. We done backslid in regards to racism. So now they all took a knee. And our girls got their butts stumped. And I'm glad. I wish they could went negative. And frankly, any person participating in the Olympics that pulls a stunt like this, I hope they get their butts beat. I'm talking beat so bad to where they feel like maybe I should move to another country. Because you might as well be. You might as well be playing for another squad if you go out there claiming that you represent this country by disrespecting this country, not just the country, but the folks who live here, the folks that's cheering, supposed to be cheering for you, the folks that's supposed to be supporting you, the taxpayers, the folks that fought for your freedom, the folks that died for your freedom, the folks that are in the military, that love the flag, the folks that respect the national anthem. And here you are using your platform in other countries to disrespect your own country. I have no more respect for you. So therefore, if these folks go 0 and 15, yay, could they go negative 0? Could they go negative 15? I need them going that way. Down, down, down. That goes for anybody else. The girl that swings the hammer, I hope she gets her butt beat. I hope she comes in 100th place out of 100. Out of 100 of them, I want her at 100. Okay. I don't care who you are. If you go on other turf and you use that platform to trash your country, I'm done with you. Completely done. And they are killing stuff that folks enjoy. I'm telling you right now, they just don't learn. They think Americans want to see this crap thrown up in their face all the time. I don't know about you, but I don't. I'm sick and tired of it, man. And I used to be one of those guys that's so patriotic when it comes down to our squad. I don't care what the event was in the Olympics, events that I didn't even know existed. I would watch during the Olympics time. Like, yo, I don't even know what they're doing. I don't know what the goal is. What is this? They're pushing a big old marble on some ice with a stick. What does that do? But anyway, America. And yet, now I got to pick and choose who I support. Now I got to go, all right, is this one of the folks who love our country or hate it? All right, so far, so good. He's standing up at least. Okay, all right, yeah, he got his hand. Okay, he's good. I want America. But all these women are taking a knee. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Swap out the whole team. I don't care if they send over a peewee squad of girls. I would love to watch them if they got slaughtered. I'd still cheer for those peewee girls before I would cheer for these grown behind privileged women who are over there disrespecting our country. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. Somebody brought it up, though, in the feed. I'm sorry, y'all. I got distracted. Speaking of which, sticking on topic. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Back down that rabbit trail, man.
This flipping the script is not a new phenomenon. The Democrats have been flipping scripts for decades. Recently, we know Hillary Clinton conspired with Russian operatives to create the phony Russian collusion dossier, weaponized by a rogue Clinton-friendly FBI to try and destroy President Trump. What did the Democrats do? They come out and accuse President Trump of Russian collusion when all the while it was the Democrats cozying up to the Kremlin.
Now, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because of the raggedy media. That's how it's possible. It's possible because of people like William Barr, who we heard earlier with Trump, people like Christopher Wray, James Comey, Clapper, Brennan, all of those guys. That's how it's possible. See, when you have a person, a campaign, literally paying for oppositional research to demonize their opponent, you open up an investigation against their opponent after knowing that they actually paid for the fake information. But yet you just overlooked that and then allow it to go on. Once you found out that Hillary Clinton paid for it and then it went public, you still sat back and let it play out. It should have been squashed right then. To this day, bubbleheads don't even realize that, wait a minute, yeah, that does sound kind of pretty peculiar. Why would they use that information? I mean, Hillary Clinton paid for it. They still think that Trump was a Russian agent, all because of the media. But what else did they flip-flop on? Here
we go. Look at the Black Lives Matter Antifa riot.
Oh, not
those hundreds
guys.
Of police officers injured. Not a peep from the left. Buildings burned and destroyed, government buildings broken, ransacked, broken into, things stolen, and yet the Democrats don't say a word.
Nothing?
Remember when they excused this destruction?
What they say?
We would have never been having this conversation if you didn't have people take to the streets.
It is not, generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started. There is a deep sense of grievance and complaint here.
Yeah, it's not generally unruly. When fires are started, normally we're roasting marshmallows. But this time, because there's a deep inner hurting and all of that stuff, it's justified. It's justified.
Protesters are right to be speaking out.
A riot in Boston Harbor started the fight that amounted to America. It was the minority manifesting a desperate plea to be heard and for change, just like now.
Just like now. So why weren't all of those minorities that wanted change at the Capitol, why wasn't it justified? Why wasn't it just a small minority of people who, wanted change and they felt like their vote didn't count and they were stuck up without a pistol? Yeah, those people, they just wanted change. But no, they're insurrectionists. But these guys are freedom fighters, according to the left.
Idea that you could have a few people who break a few windows and burn a few cars. They don't know what...
I heard that. The idea that you can have a few people that breaks a few windows and a few cars, as long as it's not yours, though, right? Long as it's not your windows, long as it's not your business. I mean, come on, suck it up. Why are you whining? Okay. But when they start going up in these folks' neighborhoods, breaking out their stuff, tearing up their stuff, then they call the police. See, it's no longer a peaceful protest. It's a riot. But let's continue.
What to do with that emotion. So their response, especially young folks, is to lash out.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. A whole bunch of impulsive, uncontrollable people who don't know how to channel their anger and go about it in a civil way. That's right. I mean, they're not responsible for their behavior. Absolutely not. They're mad. So throw a tantrum, tear stuff up, steal stuff, kill folks, burn stuff, destroy black people's businesses and others. That's what you should do. And guess what? You got freedom to do that because the liberal media and the Democrats give you the thumbs up. Hey, just in case things go south and you end up in jail, we got you. Kamala Harris and her friends will raise a couple bucks, get you out, and then the DOJ will just get rid of all that mess for you, okay? Thanks for supporting the Democrat Party and our cause. But let's see.
Lots. I get fired up when I just listen to them. But the moment a small group of destructors invade the Capitol, not even coming close, to be honest, to inflicting the near damage seen during the Summer of Love riots. All of this is an outrage you just saw. Once again, the Democrats tried to pretend to be the law and order party now when it comes to January 6th, but they weren't back then. Now they want to accuse conservatives of being violent extremists.
A persistent threat of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism.
He has a base of supporters who are very anti-immigrant.
Excuse me. Y'all hear this paid propagandist on MSNBC? I think maybe it might have been CNN. Who knows? Let me see some here. Yep, she was, let's see. I don't want to get it wrong. She's CNN probably. Maybe paid persistent. Okay, yes, I think she was CNN. Y'all hear her who said persistent. Outside of January 6th, what is she talking about? What is she talking about? I mean, show me the footage of all these persistent MAGA hat wearing crowds of folks doing anything close to any of this stuff she's describing. Anybody? I'll wait. And white supremacists.
The top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Nobody sees what they're doing. Nobody sees them trying to flip that script. See, the only reason they don't see it is because
violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Theatricality and deception. Powerful agents to the uninitiated. We are initiated.
I mean, you leave your pain. See, only folks that get distracted by all of that mess. Only folks that ain't initiated. They fall for that mess. But we are initiated. I love them. One of my favorite villains. Oh,
you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it, till I was nearly a man. By that time, it was only blinding.
Loving. We see through all of this garbage, but not the bubblehead.
Flip the script campaign is the claim that all of us on the right, everyone who supports President Trump, all of us, that somehow we're racist. Republicans are racist. Conservatives are racist, they declare. This may just be the most hypocritical of all the less bogus but calculated claims. The Democrats are the party of the KKK.
So now, we've been hearing since we started the show tonight a montage of angry folks. Folks trying to convince the kids that racism is bad. We heard a fat black lady on TV talking about all white people are the devil. We heard about all of that. We heard about critical race theory all over the place. And now this man got the nerve to say, nice try, Democrats, by trying to make us look like we're the racists. But you're calling them the racists? Please do tell, Mr. from Newsmax.
Democrats' welfare trap is designed to keep minorities down. Oh. The Democrats claim that black people can't get ID or find their way to the polls. That's about as offensive as it gets. And racist, by the way. The Democrats' own critical race theory pushes the idea that blacks are inferior and they operate somehow at a disadvantage. What? If they call us the racist.
Do black folks know this? Do black folks understand that that's the premise of critical race theory? Maybe they need to listen to some smart black folks who see what these white liberals are doing, what these Democrats are doing, what these spanking, nasty, dirty media personalities are doing. You cannot support this crap without offending your own self and your own race if you're black. It's the frustrating part of all of this. When I hear black people buy into these narratives that we can't get to the polls, we can't get on the internet, all of this stuff, I'm going, do you realize you are offending black folks? You are minimizing our abilities, our intelligence. You're pretty much saying we recognize that we're just not as good. We can't perform. We're underprivileged and stuff like that. So all of this is justified. But yet, he ain't going to stop with those accusations. He going to let us hear a little quick montage. Y'all ready? I like montages. I like those massages. Here we go.
They insist President Trump is the chief racist,
yeah,
of course.
That's what I heard.
But have they ever listened to their own racist leader?
It's been harder to get African Americans initially to get vaccinated because they used to be experimented on.
What? Man, okay. Y'all hear that? It's hard to get African Americans vaccinated because they're used to being experimented on. Oh, my God. When I first heard that, I knew that was the end of jail. I was saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to click on my Angry for Nothing Facebook page, and I'm going to see black folks mad. I'm going to get on Twitter, and they're going to be like, man, I'm done with Joe. And they still support this dummy. This man just said, we are scared to get vaccinations because we're used to being experimented on. Excuse me, is there any black person out there, I'm wondering, that's been experimented on besides these Democrats experimenting on you mentally? Okay. Anybody still alive? This, you know, all of that. He said it was the Tuskegee experiment and all of that stuff. So what is he talking about? But yet this man just threw that out there. No data, no nothing. And then when he made a reference, He just hacked the reference up and everything. And then folks just let it go. Now, if that was Trump, they would have said anything close to that. The reason he got away with this is because the media, they didn't even blink. They didn't even find that offensive. You know, they said, you know what, that's just Joe being Joe. He old and stuff. If Trump would have said that, what? He says black people are experimented on. Please, Mr. President, show me where and where's your data and where are you making this claim? And isn't that insensitive and racist? What else did Joe say?
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Oh.
They picked 58 women, turns out, from the hood.
From the hood, y'all. They picked 58. Now, this is when pandering goes too far. This is when he's a pander bear. That's right. I'm the type of politician that never tells the truth. I got one goal, getting you to the photo booth, all of that. So now the pandering done went too far. Talking about some 58 women from the hood. Don't be using that, Joe. That's like when he hit us with, you ain't black. That's like Hillary. I don't feel no waste time. That's like Alexandria Cortez. I don't see nothing wrong with being a bartender. And folks don't see these panda bears. That's like Joe taking a knee for nothing. Probably was tired. Hey, I get a 2-for-1. Hey, I get to take a knee because I'm pooped. And I can pander. That's like Nasty Pelosi and them coming out in dashikis and mess beanies, bean pies, African dancers in the back, all of that mess. I'm sitting there watching this garbage and I'm going, black people aren't mad over this. If Trump would have came out in dashikis, red, black, and green, all taking a knee.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Now, do the Indians know that? I do not own a 7-Eleven. Why is he saying these things? We don't know. But Joe's perception of a 7-Eleven. Is that it's all owned by those Indians. Huh, what was this?
Some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf.
Because, of course, only black women stack grocery shelves. Now, the funny part about this, I have not seen a black woman stacking a grocery shelf. I see young white kids doing it. That's what I see. I see young black boys doing it. But I don't recall in a long time seeing a black woman, middle-aged or grown woman, like this, all I can do. It's all the job I can get. I just stack groceries. But yet, here he is throwing it out. They are in constant pander mode. And it makes me want to throw up every time I hear it in my throat. Right here. But this is the ultimate right
here. Problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
There's no montage like that involving President Trump. None. They ignore every single one of those comments. He is the chief racist in charge.
Wow.
Well, folks, it is about time someone rained hell on the big tech overlords trying to erase conservatives from the digital space.
Say what? Now, this is the same guy. Now, this is another clip. This guy right here, he done switched. Now, he's talking about how big tech is involved in all of this, too. Let's hear.
And, of course, President Trump is the man who is now doing just that with his recently announced class action lawsuit against Facebook, Google, Twitter, and their CEOs. Now Americans who have had enough of the shadow banning, the censorship, they're all hopping on board. As the president said, it could be thousands of them. Well, one of those...
Known the rapper can rap quite like he can. He take a muscle-bound man and put his face in the sand. That's what I'm talking about, Trump. You make me want to go Chuck D. I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They said that they were suckers. That's what you make me want to do with this Trump. I'm joining in. I came to bring the pain hardcore to the brain. Yeah, man. So let's finish hearing about this lawsuit.
Thousands is reality TV star Siggy Flicker. She is joining President Trump's lawsuit in the fight against big tech. Siggy alleges she's been targeted on social media for years. She's talked about being a conservative, a former Democrat turned Trump supporter and legal immigrant from Israel. Well, she didn't fit the mainstream media's view of who should be supporting and who she should be supporting. So her high-profile accounts, she insists, are shadow banned, censored, and in some cases even disabled.
For what?
Siggy claims that this photo, the one that you're about to see here, she posted, simply wishing Melania Trump a happy birthday. in all of the languages she speaks. She says this is the reason why her Facebook account was deleted.
So wait a minute, y'all. I'm looking at this picture of Melania in her nice outfit, her hand over her heart, and all it is saying is happy birthday in like four different languages that all of these TV media people mocked her over her accent, but yet none of them speak four languages. And that's all she did, but you telling me? Let's see what happened.
Why? Well, Siggy never found out. Facebook never revealed to her what was the issue with that post.
Well, my Facebook has been disabled for no apparent reason. Like I said, I put up a picture of beautiful Melania Trump on her birthday on April 26th. I went to log into my Facebook and it was disabled. My attorney, Alina Haba, sent out a letter to the general counsel of Facebook. And of course, when socialists are running Facebook, they feel like they don't need to respond, so they haven't responded yet. So because I was fortunate enough to attend a press release yesterday to hear the class action lawsuit that President Trump has brought upon, you know, on behalf of the people,
the people
Trump cares about. He is the only president defending the Constitution and protecting the Republic. My attorney has now requested that we join in this class action lawsuit because we are now in a critical time in history. And Americans, don't take it from a legal immigrant. Travel the world and realize this is the greatest country. And they are playing by Saul Alinsky's playbook. They are trying to destroy America from within.
Girl, a cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I'll rebel. Between bars, got me thinking like an animal. So they trying to put me in a cage? They trying to censor me? They making me go Chuck D on them, y'all. So now here's this woman who has real experience outside of the U.S. She understands that we're blessed in this country. Our idiots are kneeling over, soccer games, and they're running around pushing critical race. They're trying to unravel everything that's good about America. Yet folks that come from other countries are watching this, and they're going, you guys are dumb. Y'all have no idea. We would love to switch places. Folks that come from other countries can appreciate America. So once again, I propose our exchange program. Send the America haters over to other countries, and we'll have an exchange with those folks that want to come here. Now, it doesn't stop there, y'all, because somebody is about to go in as we finish out. I don't even think we're going to be able to get to the last part of the. Let me see how much more we got. Let's go ahead and knock this one out. I'm stuck, y'all. I'm stuck. Let's go here. Here we go. All right. My girl, Laura Ingraham. Here we go.
It's do or die in the suburbs. That's the focus of tonight's angle. Now, it's a moment of truth for all you moderates living in the suburbs. Many of you voted against Donald Trump by voting for Biden. At the time, I think you felt good about it, virtuous even, especially you suburban women. You're the biggest voting cohort, making it, 24% of the voters in 2020? And you went 59% for Biden and only 40% for Trump. Well, you felt good about yourselves at the time, but what about now? Well, the events of the last year, and especially the past 6 months, demonstrate that you've got a lot more trouble than you bargained for.
I think a lot of people realize that they bit off more than they can chew. They went in up in that smorgasbord, like, oh, yeah, I want the fish sticks, and I want some of that broccoli, and give me some of those potatoes, and I want it all. Get to that table, threw a couple pieces of chicken down there, and I'm full now. Left all that mess. So here we go. All these folks who thought things would get better under Joe Biden. Let's see Laura's take on it. Here we go.
Fact is, there are no more moderates left in the Democrat Party to rein in the radicals. Uh-huh. And as I warned, now, I think it was exactly almost a year ago,
what you warned
about? Biden's too weak to stand up to the hard left.
He's too weak to stand up to a 10-mile-per-hour wind. That man right there is getting blown over by a cool breeze. Oh, I fell down. 3 times in a row. All right, let's continue. Now.
Message to suburban women and older voters. Biden is not going to deliver the calm that you think he might. The Democrats have become the party of chaos, lawlessness, and disorder. And when they can't get their way through voting, they'll encourage rioting and looting. And if you resist or you don't publicly profess your white guilt, they'll destroy you.
Wow. Now, how is it that Laura just read their whole card like that? They are violence. They're Marxists. If they don't get their way, they do exactly what Laura just said. And now they're even taking it to a whole nother level. They're involving the military, the DOJ, FBI, CIA, all of them, NSA, all of them. And yet these folks were dumb enough to think that I feel good about myself because I didn't vote for that white nationalist. I wonder what's going to happen when these Democrats start unleashing Antifa and Black Lives Matter into their neighborhoods. Here we go. Let's see.
Hate our history, our traditions, and our way of life. But now that the hard left is in charge, they're simply never going to crack down on crime. They just mouth platitudes, community engagement, and then they shovel taxpayer money out the door to their cronies.
This is not defunding our communities. It's investing in them for crime prevention and for community building and social services.
What is that crap? Y'all hear Susan Rice's butt, who shouldn't even be on TV, who's a liar and a deceiver. And here she's like, this isn't defunding the police. This is investing in that. What does that even mean? That stuff just sounds good on paper, make people go, well, I mean, that sounds like we need investments. Solving what? Is that addressing the problem? Do you think the brothers out there that's like, but ain't. You think that's what they're thinking? Listen to Joe's, suggestion of how we should deal with crime.
Fostering trust with and earning legitimacy in our communities.
We know summer jobs, training, and recreation for young people work. They help make sure young people pick up a paycheck instead of a pistol.
That sounds good. Make sure young people pick up a paycheck instead of a pistol. Why would you do that as a young person who there's no cops around? Y'all have let us run free and rampant. And you want me to go and get a job at Burger King? You want me to go get a job at Mickey D's? When you ain't prosecuted none of us, you done scared the cops from coming into our neighborhood, and I've been profiting off of that. I've been scaring everyone. I've been dealing drugs. I've been doing all of this with impunity. I'm having a great time. Great time to be a gangster in the hood because y'all got those cops going, I ain't going in there. And then you get Joe talking about, yeah, it's a community investments and stuff like that. Dumb. But then there's one more person who sums it all up, brings up the rear.
There are a lot of things that we need to do on the law enforcement side, including, by the way, addressing the rise in domestic violent extremism.
You can always count on Maisie for real wisdom about this.
That woman's dumb. She is a politician for nothing, completely. And I'm not sexist. Harona or whoever she is, her tail is the worst. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't want hyperbole. We do got some heavy hitters on that squad. I mean, it's like a five-way tie. We got Hank Johnson. Yes, Guam might tip over. We got Federico down in Florida with that big old rodeo hat all the time. Mm-hmm. We got, who else? AOC. We got Ilhan. It's some heavy hitters. But Harona's up there. She is up there. Now, we move to another idiot in our government right about now. Listen to this dude. Because see, we just listened to how they're politicizing the DOJ and all of that stuff. Listen to this knucklehead.
See, perhaps the most absurd statement ever uttered by an American general. Unfortunately, this general has a lot of power. He is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the number one uniformed American military member, General Mark Milley. And this is where his priorities are.
It is important that we train and we understand, and I want to understand white rage, and I'm white. And I.
Does he work for Hasbro? I mean, I'm just wondering. So this is not, this dude, he's not a military guy. He's a politician. He's like Dr. Fauci now. He's compromised. This dude is up here testifying about some dang old white rage, whatever that is. He's no different than the fat black girl who was just up here talking about something. I'm not going to coddle you guys. I'm going to let you know you're all demons. You're built to be racist. You'll never be human. You're not real humans. And he might as well be in that same category. So now this dude throws something stupid out there, and yet the folks who is watching him and listening to him, it goes right over their head. Because if this is something that's programmed and built in to white people, then he should know about it. It should be in him. How do all these white folks adopt these statements, these slogans, these concepts, all somehow escape what they're claiming other white people suffer from? So now he's talking about, I want to understand this white rage. I want to know where it comes from. Well, if it is white rage, not human rage, not, you know, folks just mad for whatever, this is specifically based on your color, which you're that color. So now you should start with self-evaluation. Why are you talking about the folks on the six? Now, I want to understand what made them do that, why they attacked the Capitol. I want to know about this white rage. So I guess that white rage gene jumped right over this sorry behind so-called general. But yeah, folks, they don't catch that. They don't catch it. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that?
You should know, white man, obviously, because it's white rage. You want to understand it. So why don't you start with, well, let me see. I'm a white guy. What makes me mad? Where's this white rage? Let me see if I can channel it. I'm bringing forth the white rage. Where is it? Why doesn't he have it? I guess he never even noticed it as a white man until recently. Oh, whoa, where's this? This is new. Yeah, wow, white people got rage? This is crazy. I wonder why it never popped up in me. By the way, y'all keep loving on Gizmo. He's coming, guys. All right, we only got like 8 minutes left, so I'll give him a cameo before we go. Here we go.
I want to find that out.
As the Beltway loves to say, lots to unpack there.
Okay.
Number one, January 6th, we don't need a commission. He just established, he just said, it was white rage. White rage caused January 6th, huh? And he wants to know about white rage, and he's white. Wow, talk about a virtue signal.
I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers of being, quote, woke. You can be...
Now, you hear that? This is a tactic of the left all the time. When they do something stupid, when they get criticized, then they got to get mad. Like, you know what? That you would even, that's the typical response when you get busted cheating, when you get busted on a test. Are you looking at your person on the side of his paper? Man, I can't believe you would ask me something like that. Man, why would I cheat? Man, you know what? I'm offended that you would even accuse me of cheating. Now, what is that designed to do? Make the professor go, oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend you. Uh-huh. So here's this guy now. He got to come after that and try to pretend that he ain't political, that he's not been compromised by all of these Democrats and their agenda. Somebody done promised him something, because as a military man, you shouldn't be out here talking about some dang on white rage. But let's continue.
Be indignant all you want, but you are being woke. Maybe you don't feel woke in your soul, but you are acting woke. And you know that weird titles are making their way onto military reading lists, titles like White Fragility, Anti-Racist Babies with Divisive, Horribly Racist Messaging. It's all over the military, and you, sir, are responsible for that.
So I wonder if they're going to bring a fat black girl who is cisgender, non-binary, and all of that. I wonder if they're going to bring her in to speak to all of those military people and tell them that they're white devils and that, you know, they should never, all of that stuff. Okay, all right, so here we go.
I had a feeling he was a politician much more than a soldier. Do you remember when he walked across the street with Donald Trump after that riot? There he is, the dumpy guy, dumpy-looking guy in the camouflaged utilities. He walks across the street with the President of the United States. The swamp freaks out about that for some reason. They tell Millie, they make it clear, you work for us, not for him. So the top uniform commander-in-chief, and he apologizes for it.
As many of you saw, the result of the photograph of me at Lafayette Square last week, that sparked a national debate about the role of the military in civil society. I should not have been there. My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics.
It really didn't cause much of a national debate. He got a couple of phone calls from Democrat senators probably, and he caved. He betrayed his president.
And betrayed his country. So let me understand. Your job is, you know, under the president, is not to drag your butt to a microphone and have to give an excuse why you were standing next to the president. Who do you think you are, man? Right there, Trump should have told him, hey, man, hand it all in. You're out of here. Get out of here. Go home. If you want to be a politician, do that. How dare you, after being in a picture with the president, you drag your butt microphone and then say, I don't want to create the perception. This dude right here has been compromised. And folks don't see this. Get him out of here, man. If, like I said, Trump gets back in, clean house. Clean it. Clean house. But there's more about what they're doing with our police and everything. Let's see if we can get through this real quick.
This guy says he shouldn't appear political. Take a look at this.
Oh, what's that?
I happen to remember him flirting with Kamala Harris at the inauguration. I mean, that's some serious close talking, and I think that's a double handshake, okay? They are cozy. Look, Milley is like a lot of swamp snakes. They'll do anything to stay in power. And being the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a pretty good deal. You get a staff of 500, you outrank basically everybody, and you also get a beautiful house on Fort Myer. But
so you mean to tell me probably, hey, listen, man, you help us get Trump out, you know what I'm saying? You'll keep your position, dog. You'll be in the house, literally. Okay, so let's hear more about
instead
that.
Of this virtue selling and feeling bad about being white and examining your white rage, you could be, and you should be, keeping politics out of the military. Instead, he's let it run rampant. We are seeing soldiers do dangerous things over the past couple of months. Do you remember that contingent of soldiers from Guam who went marching to kind of intimidate Marjorie Taylor Greene?
What the?
They had some words for her. This is ugly, dangerous stuff, and it should not be happening. And how about when Marines take it upon themselves to answer back to cable TV hosts?
Now, you see the trouble we're in? So these folks are allowing our military to get involved in politics to where they're walking them right down the hall to confront a U.S. House member over some stuff that I guess what they're going to do, chastise her. This is politicizing our most sacred institutions. That's what's happening. And then they stick this dude out here, and guess what he says?
That actually happened.
I'll remind everyone that his opinion, which he has a right to, is based off of actually 0 days of service in the armed forces. Let me offer you my opinion. My opinion is based off of 28 years of actual service in the military, 28 years in the Marine Corps, in combat operations out at sea, and in garrison.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, whoever you are. This was done from an official account. That's one of the reasons why I don't like it. Your opinion doesn't matter. The military is subordinate to civilian leadership. It is to the people. And this guy mouthing off about something that Tucker Carlson, by the way, said on TV, that was a disgrace. But this kind of behavior is being encouraged by the left-wing Biden administration. It really isn't. What is the excuse? And believe me, it's a flimsy excuse. January 6th. Because of January 6th, everything's on the table. We got to fight white supremacy because it's everywhere. You just heard the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that white rage fueled this, not genuine concerns about what happened last fall or a total failure of security. Meanwhile, we have a Capitol Hill police officer. Actually, I believe he's from the Washington Police Department, Washington, D.C. His name is Fanone, and he's been running around lobbying Congress in a pretty forceful and, I think, unprofessional way.
So now, why is this, Mo? Why is this who, for whatever reason, Eric Fartwell, who basically got caught sleeping with a darn